Good morning. Stuffed? Everybody stuffed? Is that not like the byword for Thanksgiving? Am I right? How many of you got stuffed on Thanksgiving? It wasn't just the turkey that got stuffed, was it? We people, we tend to stuff our lives with so many things, don't we? Anybody here do the Black Friday gig? Nobody in the room. Praise the Lord, I got the perfect congregation. Praise God, because you and I both all know, right, that it isn't things that bring us happiness. Am I right? It isn't things that bring us peace, joy. It isn't things that fulfill us. It's a person. It's Jesus Christ, our Lord. Am I right? Amen, amen, and amen. And here's the thing. Some of us, however, although we know that, how many of us really get it all the time as it relates to that? Anybody else? Anybody ever have a problem in their life? Anybody try to solve those problems with other means other than God? Tell the truth. Yes, thank you so much. How many of us have had traumatic events occur in our life one time or another? Wow, okay, so all of us are in the same boat in that regard, aren't we? Each and every one of us have had some stuff that went on in our life. Am I right? Yes? And as we go through our Christian walk, the purpose of coming to church on a regular basis, reading the Word of God, hearing the Word of God, listening to devotions and sermons and all those other kinds of things, the purpose for all of what we do on a regular basis here, at least at Christ the Cornerstone Church, is to help you find coping mechanisms, coping skills that are not what the usual world would have us do. Do you not know and realize that everything of God is the exact opposite of everything of the world? That the way people, humans, deal with their problems on an emotional level especially are things that are not the way God would have us do it. It's the exact opposite. For example, when you have a conflict with a person, our human nature is to do what? Run for the hills. The fight or flight response kicks in, doesn't it? Some of us fight, some of us flee. Am I right? And some of us fight, then flee. And sometimes I wish you'd just flee instead of fight. That might be better for some of us, right, in our relationships. That's human. That's natural. Do you know why the fight or flight response is in us? It's in us to help us survive. It's the primal part of the brain by which we can protect ourselves from monsters, abusers, people coming at us, attacking us. That's what the purpose is for. It's for physical survival, correct? Now, our ego would have us believe that when you attack my ego, meaning if you attack me as a person, how I perceive that to be, say, for example, you don't like my outfit today, I could perceive that to be that you don't like me, and I could have an automatic response of what? Fight or flight, correct? That's a human response, isn't it? Now, am I in real danger if you don't like me? No. Am I really? Will I survive if you don't like me? I'm afraid I will. Yes. So sorry about that. So that's also true for you then, isn't it? The people that, whether they like us or don't like us, or love us or don't like us, whether they stay in our life or leave it, we will survive, right? Remember the song? Those of you that lived through the 70s like I did? You know it. How's it go? Oh, wow, the whole entire church knows it. Even the young people. Yes, I will survive. That's true. Isn't that right? We will survive. So knowing that we can survive no matter what comes our way, that God is one entity, the only real true entity and being that will never leave us nor forsake us. Now, if we know that God is for us, who can possibly be against us? And even if they are against us, what will happen to them? Psalm 27 is one of my favorite psalms. It says, and when my enemy came upon me, my enemy was coming right at me. Coming towards me. What's an enemy? What do we think of as an enemy? It could be someone just, you know, making a face at us. That could be what we perceive as an enemy, right? I mean, the human mind can perceive all kinds of things, can't it? But a real enemy coming towards us, you know, someone gossiping about you, perhaps, and then somebody who's supposedly your friend says, oh, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but this is what I heard that they said about you. Thank you. Can you kind of keep that to yourself? You know, it never does us any good to repeat gossip to someone else, especially if somebody else is talking about them. Am I right? How does that help? It doesn't. Who does it hurt? Everybody. Everybody in the process, especially God. So my point is this. The Psalm 27 says, when my enemies came upon me, they stumbled and fell. Don't you love that psalm? They were running right at you, and boom, you're standing there, and whoop, oh, they tripped and fell. What happened? I did nothing. God. See, God is ever present. God is always on your side. Even though someone might oppose you or try to come against you, even though somebody or somebodies may want to come against even our community at large, there is nothing they can do to cause us to perish. Because whoever believes in Jesus shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, we can get scared, can't we? See, fear creates that fight or flight response, doesn't it? Fear of loss, fear of abandonment, fear of being rejected, fear, fear, fear. Anytime I'm afraid, I go into what mode? Fight or flight, fight or flight. And we can imagine things in our mind, can't we? Anybody here have an imagination besides me? Yes? Okay. How many of you can imagine the best? I got three hands. What happened? What do most of us imagine? And does the worst usually happen? So what did you just do? You wasted an awful lot of energy, and you kicked off your endorphins, by the way. See, the fight or flight response actually causes us to be able to, like, lift up things that are really heavy. You ever seen a situation or read about times when, like, a car runs over a child or is on top of a child, or a jack slips and the car's there, and somehow, some way, through supernatural strength, right? That's the adrenaline rush we get, and that's the power of God coming in, allowing us to lift us. And lift up others, right, in time of need. That's what it's designed for. But it isn't designed for us to do this, having conflict with others. It really isn't what it's designed for. The fight or flight response is designed for what? Help us survive. Help us in a fire to run the heck out of the room. Right? Wouldn't you want to wake up in the middle of the night, and, you know, if you're hearing, you're hearing flames, you're smelling smoke, what are you going to do? Logically think, I wonder what that could be. You know, Becky might be cooking in the kitchen. That could be it. Oh, no, more likely I left something on the stove. I'm going to figure this out and rationalize it, and I will logically think this through. No, what would we do? Run for your life! Now, is that the time to figure out why the fire started? No. When would it be a good time to kind of figure that out so that fire doesn't come again? Way after you're out. Exactly. How many of you, when you're in the middle of a conflict or a situation in your life or a problem, are trying to figure it out, while you're in it? That's when a lot of people come into counseling. I'm in a crisis! Pastor Joyce, tell me why this happened to me! Well, let's get out of the crisis first, right? So you can then do what? Think logically. You can't figure something out while you're in it. But most of us do, don't us? Don't we? Don't us. How do you like that one? Woo! Hey, donuts. I'm thinking of food. So sorry. All right, you dough nuts. All right. So, all I'm saying is this. Listen. All of us need to allow God to control our emotions and our reactions. All of us, when we have something go awry in us, instead of either fleeing the situation and essentially stuffing it inside, how many of you, you know, if somebody does hurt your feelings, how many of you don't say anything to that person most of the time? You just leave their life, right? Right? What? How many of you have wonderful relationships in your life that you really value? Okay. If you had a problem with one of those people in your key relationship, would you, if you had a little bit of a, you know, disagreement or a problem with them, or perhaps they really did inadvertently hurt your feelings, how many of you would just, like, leave them? Well, no hands. Very nice. Then how is it we leave all the other relationships in our life? Wait a minute. I missed that comment, and I don't know if I even want it going over the radio. Oh, three strikes, you're out. I see. So you keep records of how many times they hurt you. Very nice. Put that in the back of your mind. Anybody in the room, I mean, I've been in my relationship 29 years. I don't even know that we could possibly count how many strikes I've had. I'm not even out of the game. I'm out of, like, you know, I don't even get to play the game anymore. If we kept score that way, how many of us would have relationships at all? Now, I'm not talking about abuse. Now, please understand that. I know the difference between a toxic relationship. Do you know the difference between a toxic relationship? If it's poisonous to you, no, she says no. You're learning the difference. See, some of us sometimes, see, when we know the difference between what's good for us and what's not, what's healthy and what's unhealthy, what is, like, I don't know, think about food for just a second, right? Considering we're on Thanksgiving. I know, I'm still stuffed. We do know the difference between some food when it goes bad. You know, the leftovers. Like, I just, there was something on the news the other day, because I, like, turkey is like one of those things you stuff it, you eat it, and you stuff yourself with it, and then you save it for later, and then how many more days later you get to keep eating the sandwiches, right? Am I right? But you know, one good thing about Bay News 9, they actually said how many days you're supposed to let that turkey stay as a leftover before it hurts you. I know. Well, hopefully, it's how many? Well, if you haven't eaten it all already, there's something not right with Thanksgiving. But anyway, it actually is 3 days. Uh-oh, everybody is going to go home and do what? Throw the turkeys away. Eat a couple of cents. Okay, I lost the crowd. Just, you know. Now listen. How many times, let's go back, well, let's just talk about toxicity for just a second. If you're in a toxic relationship with someone and they're hurting you verbally, emotionally, or otherwise, or particularly physically, it takes how many times before you, once, very nice. No tolerance, zero tolerance for physical violence, ever. Okay. Secondly, if they're verbally abusive to you, as many as you can take. Now you know why she's in counseling. Do any of you know how much is enough? Some of us have higher tolerances level for pain, don't we? Don't we? Don't we? Don't we? I'm here to tell you this. Listen. The reason that we come to church is so that we become more Christ-like. Christ abuses no one. A Christ-like spirit would never condemn, put down, or call a person a name, ever, right? Once is too many times. And that includes how you talk to you, by the way. Yeah, oops. Didn't mean to step on your toes there, but it's really important. Listen, folks, God did not create us for us to be either a punching bag, verbally or physically or otherwise. But he did create us to love one another. We are an expression of love. And love is patient. Love is kind. Love never keeps records of wrongs. I heard that somewhere. That's what love is. Now, if you're not being treated that way or treating yourself that way, then that means you are not in a loving relationship with someone else. Or if you're that way, that means you've got a little too much humanness going on. Because when you want to fight all the time, that's not an expression of love, is it? Remember when Jesus said, you live by the sword, you... Correct. So see, it's so important for each and every one of us to learn another way. The way. The way that we are to react with one another is, if you have a problem with someone, and they've hurt your feelings for whatever it might be, and it may very well be your perception of the fact of what they didn't give you or whatever the case might be, it's important that you go to that person with love and say to them, is there something going on with us? Have I done something that would cause you to treat me this way? Or do we need to get our relationship back on track? Is there something I can seek forgiveness for? Because how many of you make mistakes? How many of you need forgiveness? Like for the last 20 minutes or so, right? Every time we turn around, it seems, doesn't it? Right? God asks us to give those kinds of things to one another. But most of us, when we have a problem with another person, whoever that might be, especially sometimes the people closest to us, what do we tend to do? Get angry. We stuff it, don't we? We stuff our feelings because maybe as a child we couldn't verbalize, and that's where a lot of why we do what we do comes from. Does it matter where the fire came from? What it matters is if we have a loose wire somewhere, we might want to get it repaired. Am I right? So that also means why we do what we do is not nearly as important. Most of us can probably and look at it and say most of us most likely came from human parents. You are paying attention. That's good to see. I'm checking to see if you're still awake with me. Okay, so we came from human parents who are people that make mistakes, correct? And every once in a while, some of those parents are abusive. And until we became an adult, we may not have been able to remove ourselves from that situation. But how many of you still live with your parents? Oh. Just one. And somebody says, thank you, God, I don't. Forgive them. Anyway, some of us act as though we still do, don't we? Some of us have not gotten over some of the things that might have happened back there, and we bring that into where? Our relationships when? Now. Now, what can we do to eradicate that and help that? Grow up. Thank you, sir. Yeah.
Be reborn.
Be reborn of what kind of parent? A heavenly parent. A spiritual parent. God is the most phenomenal, ideal parent. Am I right? Could you have any better parent than God? So therefore, who do we ought to listen to as far as how we are to live? God. Do you think we might want to follow his examples of how to live? Correct? Now, we not only want to follow that, we also, in order for us to be that kind of person that's Christ-like, that means we have to have a solid, strong relationship with that God. We have to model it on a daily basis, don't we? Yes? Where do we find areas where we can model Christ? This is an open book question. You might want to try the Bible for starters, yes. And if you look in the Bible and you read the word there, and then you come to church and you hear the word coming forth to you, and then you do what with it? Apply it to you, and then you spend time during the week when you're away from church, because you're here on Sundays and Wednesdays and Sundays, right? Or Sundays and to some Sunday, maybe this, I don't know about this Sunday. Anyway, let me ask you a question. How many of you have a lot of time in your life? How is it some of you have no time? How many of you think you have more only time? What is the most important entity that we have besides God? Time. That's the only thing we have. What's the most valuable thing that we have in our life? Time. Is there enough time to do the things in your life that you want to do? I'm not sure. These are hard questions. Time management skills. Let's just go to the Bible for just a second, since we need to discuss this a little further. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 19. Let me ask a question first. How many of you would like to have a happy, wonderful, prosperous, awesome, rich life? Okay, so I have the right congregation with me today. Awesome. All right. Now, would you want to hear how to get that? And if I told you those nuggets and pearls of wisdom, would you promise to take it and apply it to your life? How many of you are going to be doers of the word and not just hearers? Okay. Even if it's hard. Oh, no, I'm not so sure. Especially if it's hard. Okay, so let's see what this means. Matthew chapter 19, beginning at verse 16. Someone came to Jesus with this question. Teacher, what good things must I do to have eternal life? Kind of the same question I sort of asked you. Because see, eternal life is when? Now. It begins now and goes on for how long? Eternity. So how many of you have enough time now? See? You all have equal amounts. Isn't that cool to know? Now, do you know what I consider eternal life? How I would define it for me? I think that eternal life is anything that outlives you. Because we're all going to die, right? We're not getting out of here alive, right? You understand that? One day this body will be gone. And I'll have a brand new one. Ooh, it look good too. Anyway, but each and every one of us have a limited amount of time where? On earth. When you allow yourself to live your life to the fullest, and if you'll have a priority that what you do and say and what you create will live past you even after your death, that to me is eternal life. In other words, what you leave behind in terms of lives changed, hearts mended, souls saved, lives affected for eternity and beyond you, that to me is eternal life. Am I right? Can most of us outlive ourselves on this planet? Of course we can. Of course we can. When you think about the greatest people that we've ever considered in humanity, and there's throughout history, there are people that have outlived themselves, haven't they? Even though they've been long dead and gone in the grave, what they've done, good or evil, lives on, doesn't it? So what must you do to inherit eternal life? Make a difference in this world. Add a contribution. Change the life of a child or an adult. Change somebody's life for the better. Teach somebody something that they learn, that they integrate into their life, that they learn that can live past you. For those of you that are teachers of any way, shape, or form, and it could be teaching music, it could be teaching songs, it could be teaching somebody how to build something, it could be teaching someone how to forgive, teaching someone how to love. That can outlive you, can it? Right? If you woke up every morning and said to the Lord, what can I do today that's good, God, that will give eternal life and touch the lives of someone else? What can I do today, God, to benefit humanity? What if you lived your life that way every day? Would the small, petty, picayune, obnoxious, annoying things that sometimes we tend to focus on, am I right? Traffic as an example. or, you know, you didn't get the right whatever widget or whatever it might have been or whatever might go on, that the things that annoy us, or someone didn't smile at me today or hug me or give me what I wanted, and I can't have control over the entire universe anymore and the people that I love, and they just won't do what I want them to do. Whatever those kind of things that we sometimes focus on, what if you lived your life and said, if I was gone today, would what I said and did live on? Because listen, what you sometimes say does live on, doesn't it? How many times have each and every one of us read stories or seen things where the last thing somebody said to somebody was an argument? They were ticked off about something. What the heck were they doing leaving the cookie jar open again, or the toothpaste? You know, they just wouldn't put that away. They left the cupboards open, or they just left their socks on the floor. And we get agitated, right? Over so many things, don't we? But the things that matter most, which are what? Relationships. The relationships of the people we love and the people that love us. That is paramount in our life. Is it not? Is it not? The relationship. Now let's go back to what Jesus said to this man. We'll go to the scriptures. What good things must I do to have eternal life? And he says, to answer your question, you can receive eternal life if you keep the commandments. Which ones, he says? Well, Jesus replied, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not testify falsely, honor your father and mother, love your neighbor as yourself. Those are how many commandments? Six. Wow, Jesus didn't list all 10. Probably because realizing some of us can probably only do maybe six at a time. Or one. And the man says, I've obeyed all these commandments. What else must I do? Wonder why he asked that question. He didn't like that answer, did he? Is it easy to follow all the commandments? Anybody here ever covet your neighbor's anything? You got an iPhone. You've got an iPad. You've got a pretty hairdo. I don't. Anybody ever covet somebody else's friends, maybe? Or crowd that they're hanging out with? None of us ever do that, right? We don't ever compare ourselves to others ever, do we? Anyway, okay. So here's what takes place. I've obeyed all these. What else must I do? Jesus told him, if you want to be perfect, go and sell all you have and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. What do you suppose this man had more of than what he needed? Stuff. Stuff. Now, most of us would say, well, you know what? I'm not a greedy person. I'm not a selfish person. I don't hoard things, so this doesn't apply to me. But I tend to wonder about this. How many of you kind of keep your love close into yourself sometimes? And only, the front row is having a tough time today, this morning. How many of us like hold on to your love only for certain people? You know, the ones that are nice to you, the ones that treat you good, the ones that are in the in crowd, whatever it might be, the ones that never ever challenge you to grow. Don't you love friends like that? That never tell you the truth, and you keep making the same stupid mistake over, and everybody's talking about you behind your back while you're making that stupid mistake, and they don't even have the courage to tell you, or the love to tell you in a loving way. Your slip is hanging. You got toilet paper coming down off the bottom of your foot. I mean, we might tell somebody that. But if we have a problem with another person that maybe they've hurt our feelings, we do what most of the time? Stuff it. And stuff it, and stuff it, until we sometimes do what? Boom! And it gets all over everybody around you. I want to offer you this, that there is another way. Listen, if you've got an important relationship in your life, and to me, all your relationships are important. People are not in your life because they just haphazardly appeared there. They're either here to teach you something or for you to teach them something. But we're all in this to really love one another, aren't we, ultimately? And it's the people especially that push those buttons. You know the buttons I'm talking about. You know those buttons? Those buttons that say, I have unresolved issues from my past. That's what I call them. Because somebody over here, you know, you just like them over here, and I'm going to treat you just like that, and I'm going to do it the same way I've always done it, which is in a child's way sometimes, right? Because if I don't like what you're doing, I'm going to take my ball and go home, aren't I? How many relationships are lost because people won't just sit down face to face and say, what's going on with us? We used to be so close. Is there something I've done? Have I neglected you in some way? Have we just not spent enough time together anymore? Because we're so busy doing what? Running everywhere, right? To do what? Much of nothing. See, what this man had was he had possessions, but he didn't have God. We sometimes put busyness in our life and activities in our life because our relationships are suffering. And our relationships will certainly suffer when we got all these things that we're doing, won't they? How many of you, if somebody's really sitting down with you and you're having lunch with them or dinner or whatever the case might be, and you're sitting there semi-listening, right? How many of you semi-listen? Some of you are semi-listening right now. I know it. You're just thinking about what is that sandwich going to be that we're going to get at that meeting anyway? I got to get home and finish off that turkey. I'm going to get sick if I don't. Listen. This man had so many things, and Jesus said, sell it and come follow me. What was he saying? Stop trying to do the things of this world and accumulate all this stuff and be busy, busy, busy with so many things. Come, get rid of that stuff. Empty out of the things that you spend all your time with. The things that you put on your to-do list that have nothing to do with people are not even worth doing, folks. Yes, you got to pay your bills because you want to keep a roof over your head. I got that. But how long do you have to stay on that computer looking after you've gone out of bill pay to kind of just avoid being with your partner, friends, or whomever? Oh, Becky's waving her arms at me. Jesus, save me. Listen, the most dangerous words in my house are, in a minute. I'll be there in a minute, honey. How long are you going to be? In a minute. And if any of you have been around me long enough to know, how long is a minute? How long has the sermon been? Lots of minutes. But listen, what's the most important thing we have in life? Time and relationships. And what are the things that we usually not give our relationships? Time. How many of you give God time? Let's talk about the number one most primary important relationship that any of us can ever have, and we're going to have it for eternity. Amen. How many of you give God your time? And I mean undivided attention. I'm not talking about looking on Facebook, looking for words, and being all whatever, and for 5 seconds. I'm talking about sitting still and being with Him, asking nothing. Not seeking any decisions, not looking for what you're going to get, but to just be with the Lord and be present. Because you're going to be with Him for eternity. You might want to get to know the guy. Sorry. I kind of like that myself. Thank you for laughing. Oh, listen, so many of us can have a full life full of stuff. Am I right? We can go places. We can go on vacations. We can have a nice car. We can have a nice house. We can have all these great things, right? And we can be empty on the inside. Am I right? That was what this man's problem was. He had all this stuff. And or sometimes we have a bunch of stuff in us that's our past. All this unresolved issues within us, that's this stuff that gets in the way of relationships, doesn't it? And we often think, well, instead of, you know, being with that person, and we might have to get uncomfortable about maybe resolving a problem or a conflict with a person, we just soon go ahead and do something else to avoid it, don't we? How many of you like having to sit down with someone and let them tell you the truth about you? Oh, Lord, I know. There's nothing. You're having a bad day here, aren't you? God bless you. God bless you. It's not every Sunday we get to see who the sermon's for, is it? God is great. Listen. Sit down with the people that you've got a problem with. Be brave enough to say, something's not right with us. And if they don't respond, and maybe they may not, they may tell you to see you later. Good thing we're on the radio and they can't see what I just did. Nice little Italian salute, you know. Yeah, they'll want to see that next week for sure. Does it matter how they respond to you? What does it matter for your own spiritual growth? It matters that you did it. It matters that you took the step. It matters that you said, you know what? I don't want a conflict between us. I want us to be a loving couple or relationship or friendship. That's what I want. I want us to get along best way we can. And I want to spend a lot more time with you. And I don't mean time like we sometimes do time. Am I right? You know what I'm talking about. You sit around a table and you talk about the food and the butter and whatever like that. Or other people, whatever the case might be. I'm talking about shutting off the cell phone, shutting off the computer, putting away the iPads, and truly shutting everything down but focusing in on that person. And opening your two ears, your two eyes, and shutting your one mouth. You don't think God did these things on purpose? See, and I know I'm guilty of this. I talk twice as much as I listen. I got it backwards. God's going to change me too. But how many of you would love to be listened to? To really, if something was bothering you, and something was on your heart, and maybe it was some deep, dark secret that you really felt you had to get off your chest, or it was just going to explode. Maybe it was something you did discover about yourself and you said, you know what, I remember why how this happened and why I did this, and I just need to tell somebody I can trust. Well, where do you start with that? You go to God with that, don't you? You can always trust the Lord. And then hopefully you have people in your life that you can trust, that they'll keep that in total confidence and never judge you and love you anyway. What a friend we have in Jesus. Wouldn't it be great if we could also be those kind of friends for one another? So we don't have to stuff it. We can verbalize it, put it out here, and then get rid of it. Get rid of it. See, here's the thing. I believe this, that in order for us to have a full life, we need to be empty of ourselves. We also need to be empty of our past and empty of our future. And we need to focus on the present. The present. And be present with one another. In Revelations 3:20, it says that Jesus stands. He says, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear me calling and open the door. So what's your part? Opening the door. What's the door that we're talking about? The door of your heart. Pastor already told you about that earlier. He says, I will come in and we'll share a meal as friends. Now we think about it in terms of food. Let's look at it this way. I call it a love feast. Some of us are hungry for so many things, aren't we? Fulfillment, peace, joy, acceptance. Love. We're hungry for that, aren't we? When you allow Christ in on a daily basis and you sit down with him and be fully present, because he's knocking on the door every morning. And you say, come on in. Come sit down with me. Everything you need, he will provide. Everything you need. Is something missing in your life? You know what's missing? Your relationship with God. Because in the scriptures, as we close, Jesus said to that man, sell your possessions and come follow me. And the man walked away because he had too much stuff. He left empty-handed. Don't miss that opportunity. Don't walk away from God. Be vulnerable. Be willing to be transparent with God and say, all that stuff that I find so important, it's worth rubbish. What's most important is my relationship with you, God. And then the people in my life that you've placed in my life, they're in my life for a reason. For me to love them and for them to love me back. Stop running. Stop running. And be emptied this morning as we come into communion. This is your opportunity to come to the table of delights. Whatever you're hungry for this morning, whatever you need, you will find it in one and only entity, one and only being, one and only power. That is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And for those of you that are all stuffed with a bunch of whatever inside of you this morning, how about we let the stuffing out? How about instead you think about those relationships that you have that maybe you have a problem with, and you make a concerted effort to go before them and say, the pastor preached an awesome sermon this morning, and I've been given an assignment. You and I have been on the outs for whatever reason, and I feel lost without you. Or I feel as though there's been something that's between us that I want to resolve. Can we sit down? I'm going to listen. I'm going to shut my mouth. I won't defend myself. I'll just ask for your forgiveness if it's something I've done to hurt you. And can we reconcile and be friends again in Christ? Because I want to keep no records of wrong. And I want to leave a life and legacy of reconciliation with others. When all is said and done at the end of our life, all we're going to be left with, because we're out of time, are all the relationships we built. Good, bad, and indifferent. And the differences we made in other people's lives. Do you want to be remembered for how much good you gave someone and how much value you added to their life? My prayer is that you will. Be present, even with those that you have difficulty with. Show them the love of Christ. And you can make such a difference in someone else's life. That will live way long beyond you. Long after this church has a whole bunch of new congregants, we'll remember the day that all of you chose to love, chose to reconcile, and chose to be at peace with all people. And you didn't even stuff your compliments anymore. You said what you had to say to others. And you stopped saying the things that could have hurt someone, including you. What must you do to inherit eternal life? Ask yourself every moment, is what I'm doing right now going to matter in eternity? Will it benefit another person's life? Will it make their life better and easier and happier? And if the answer is yes, do it, and do it with all your heart. Jesus stands at the door this morning and knocks upon your heart. For every empty part of you, he wants to fill that void with his love and peace and joy. In his very presence. Just spend a moment in His presence now. And as He wraps His loving arms around you, receive everything that you need to be full. And as you release your grip on the past or the future, and as you forgive yourself and others, as you empty out of yourself what came before this very moment, you'll be open to receive from God all that He wants for you and all that you need. So just release and let go now. Take down the walls that you've built that you thought would protect you. You're safe in God's arms. And God wants a personal relationship with you. So as you hear Him calling your name, open up your heart to Him. Invite Him in and ask Him to be forever present to guide and direct you, so that in turn you can give all of yourself to humanity and leave a legacy of love behind.